We're going to begin in 1 John this morning, chapter 3. And love has taken on a new meaning in our world. Love is not that affection, the spiritual love that the Bible talks about. And as we've talked the last couple of Sundays, when we take the Word of God and we use the flesh to explain the Word of God, then there's always going to be confusion, disputes, arguments. It's only through the Spirit and the revelation of the Spirit that we understand the truths of God, which allow us to understand what God says when He says He loves us. Love is not what you think. Love is not what the world is telling you. God's love is greater than that. The agape love is a love that you and I are not born with. We're born with that love that allows us to love our spouse, an eros love. We're to love our brothers and our neighbors as a philo love. But this agape love is a spiritual love, which is based upon a righteous decision and not how I feel. Okay, so when we begin to read this, we need to understand that loving someone is not allowing them to remain where they are at, but God's love is greater than that. He doesn't allow us to remain where He finds us. Okay, and you have to understand, He finds us, we don't find Him. As Jesus said, I go out and I seek those that are lost, those that are sick. The church is a household of sick people. Did you realize that? And we're in that healing phase where God comes in and works in our lives through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us so that we can be these instruments that He would use to draw others to Himself. It's not about us at all. It's never been about us. Okay? So as we begin to read, let's read this. This is in chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And again, it's not that love that we're born with, it's a love that God gives us. We can't love our enemies as we love ourselves. We can't even love someone as we love ourselves. Okay? This love that God showed the world is the fact that even though we transgressed against Him, we disobeyed His every commandment, we were His, the Bible actually tells us that we are His enemies. Even though while we were enemies, Christ died for us, okay? And the world doesn't look at it this way. They look at it like, well, you know, I'm good. I treat my neighbor good. I do all these good things. But God doesn't look at us in that sense. He looks at our heart. He looks at our nature. And all that man can beget is man. Man cannot make anything spiritual. Only God can make things spiritual. First comes flesh, and flesh begets flesh, and then comes spirit, and only the spirit can beget the spirit. So unless we are born again by the work of God in our lives, then unfortunately all, everything we're doing is in vain, because it's God's work, lest any man should boast. We cannot boast about the work that God does in our life. But to love someone is not necessarily to condone what they are or where they're at, which is the new love of the church, is, oh, just everybody come in, we love you. We're just to love everybody. This is what we're going through right now in our world. It doesn't matter who you love or what you love or how you love, you just love. Love, and we have so focused on love that we have forgotten what love actually is, okay? We don't love people if we allow them to die and go to hell by not telling them truth. See, the love of God may be cancer. Did you know that? God may love you enough to give you cancer. God may love you enough, okay, to put you so many trials and so many tribulations that you go to the end of yourself. The world doesn't see, when you look at this in the flesh, you're like, God, why are you angry with me? God, what are you doing to me? Where's that love of God that when I was a little bitty kid in vacation Bible school that said Jesus loves me? And then my parents get a divorce. My dad dies early. My brother's in a car wreck. Where is this love of God? God doesn't desire for anyone to go to hell. And if he has to bring this into your life so that you look up, so that you spend eternity with him, do you think it's better to be healthy for 70 years and die and go to hell forever? Or is it better to be miserable on this earth with all these infirmities because we are stubborn, we don't know our own hearts, we're wicked from our youth, and this all comes from Scripture to describe what we are, and we're to hate the very nature that we are. Understanding that we can't do anything about it. I can't turn a duck into a dog. As much I would love to do that as a veterinarian, you bring in your duck, he'll leave a dog. That's not going to happen. Okay? So, just because you come to church as a sinner don't mean you leave as a saint. Okay? You have to be born again to be a saint, not come to church. So many people come to church and they're going to die and go to hell because they've never become a saint. Because they've allowed the deception, like Andrew's talking about. He disguises himself as an angel of light and his servants as righteousness, and it sounds good to our flesh. Okay? But once you become spiritual, you can begin to see through those things. Okay? That timeshare you're talking about, see, you've know and you knew to be aware of it because I've been through that timeshare and I've told you what happens in the timeshares. So therefore, someone who has been born again can share truth with someone else that's been born again, and it's not just a bunch of religious stuff that we do, but it's a act of God in our lives that helps us to be born again, that makes us born again, and no work of the flesh can do that, and the scriptures will tell us that. So this love that he's talking about, to love people, is not to burn down abortion buildings. It's not to picket homosexual parties or LGBT or I don't know how many letters there are now, but again, we're not to picket those. We're not to take a stand against that. Oh, a preacher's saying you're not supposed to take a stand against that? Well, if I have to take a stand against that, I got to take a stand against you. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of his glory. So if I take a stand against them, I got to take a stand against you. God doesn't take a stand against us. He condemned us. Okay? And then he loved us enough in spite. This is why the love of God is incomprehensible in the fact that how in the world could he say, you know what? I'm going to send my son. I'm going to save the nation of Israel. That's the only reason he sent his son, was save the nation of Israel. It was God who grafted the Gentiles in. Eventually we'll get this, that we understand that Jesus had a purpose to save Israel. Even Jesus said that. Even Jesus called us dogs. And it was God's great love and grace mercy to use the work that Christ did on the cross to graft us in. That's an amazing love. Now, for us to understand that love, God has to bring some of us through some very difficult times. He's going to use everything in this world before you die to bring you to the end of yourself so that you look up. Religion is not the answer, folks. Baptists get Baptists. Methodists get Methodists. Pentecostals get Pentecostals. And they're all going to die and go to hell apart from being born again. All we can do is make Baptists in our children. All we can do is make Methodists, Pentecostals, Catholics. That's all we can do. We can't do anything else. That doesn't mean you're a child of God. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. That means you're just in a church, you're religious, and guess what? You're going to die and go to hell if during that period of time in your discipleship program that God does not teach you through the Holy Spirit and bring you to the end of yourself, that you mourn over your sin, that you become very distraught on what you are, knowing you can't do anything about it. That's what this love is talking about. In verse 9, it says, "By this love of God was manifested in us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." See, we talked about the Spirit is giving us life. We're born dead in our trespasses of sin. We're born separated from God. And it's the Spirit that gives us life. When the Spirit works upon our life and we persist and we endure through the discipleship that God puts us through, at some point in our life, God brings the Spirit to live within us. We become the temple of God. It says it in Scripture very plainly. Did you not know that you're the temple of God? Did you not know you were bought with a price? Do you not know that you are not your own? We have never been our own. Why in this world do we think that we get 21 years of age, now we're our own? Because that's what the world teaches, it not? Nobody tells me what to do when I get 21 years of age. God always tells us what to do. He wrote it in His Scripture. He has defined what sin is. He's the only one that gets to define what sin is. He's the only one that gets to decide any of this. And we have to get on the same page with what the Scriptures are saying to us and stop listening to man, stop listening to the theologians, and begin to get quietly with ourselves, with God's holy word, and allow Him to speak into us His word so that we would know. He says He shines light into darkness. Guess what? We're darkness. He is light. There's no darkness in Him. Beloved, if God, this is verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I've got to love you enough to tell you the truth. I got to love you enough to tell you that God will accept you as He finds you, but He loves you more that He does not leave you where He found you. There is no one that God finds as a sinner and leaves a sinner. When you're born again, you become a saint. Okay? You cannot be both. You cannot be a saint and a sinner. It's impossible. Now, you can be a saint that sins, but you can't be a sinner. Okay? We're all born sinners. He creates us into what's holy. And He calls us saints. He doesn't call us Christians. Did you realize that in Scripture that God never called us Christians? That was a human term, that God never, ever called you a Christian. Look it up. I mean, test me, please. I beg you to get the Scriptures out and test what I'm telling you. Don't believe me for one second. I want you to get out your Scriptures and I want you to sit down with the Holy Spirit and prove that what I'm telling you is either right or I'm just crazy. But when I've been religious all my life and God took me out of religion and took me out of church to make me the church, I can tell, just like I can tell Andrew about the timeshares, about the high maintenance costs that go up every year that you got no control of, okay? That you can't get into that week that you want, okay? Again, that's what church is doing to a lot of people, is telling them they can get into heaven by doing this and this and this. You can't. It's only by the grace and the mercy of holy God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And no one comes to the Father that's not granted by the Father. I'm just reading Scripture to you. I'm not making stuff up. Read it and prove me wrong. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. We live in the time which God predicted that there's going to be a form of godliness, but devoid of the Spirit. This is where Satan comes in and deceives us into thinking that this is from God, was not from God at all. Devoid of the Spirit leaves you helpless and hopeless. It's only the sealing of the Holy Spirit in our lives that gives us order. Where there's Spirit, there's order. The Spirit never brings disorder. It always brings order in our lives. But when we look at all of this in the flesh and we try to dissect this in the flesh, it'll just totally confound us. We begin to judge God. We begin to say, where is His love? Where is this God that allows, you know, little girls to be washed away in a flood? God is not partial to anyone. He will show the world that He is God, and he will do it by the things that are written in Scripture, by plagues and tumors and disasters and winds and rains and floods and diseases and viruses. That is nothing new. It's nothing new. Because the heart of man is nothing new. And we continue to stray as we get further and further from one generation to another generation. We get further and further from the truth of God. And unless you pick up this word, you sit by yourself and you ask God, what am I? He expects us to sit down and say, God, who am I? Show me who I am. You're not going to like what you see. You're going to deny what you are. But till he brings you to the end of yourself, you'll never can have what he wants you to have. And that's that relationship with him. Look at Deuteronomy 23, 1 and 2. Some people think transgender is new. Transgender is not new. It's back in the Scriptures time. Did you know that? Did you know that transgender is not new? Listen to this. And the reason I'm reading this is to show you the character of God and that God gets to decide what sin is and what sin isn't. We don't. The church can't get together and decide that, oh, well, we need to love everybody and let them in. Yes, I welcome everybody into here. But I have to love them enough to tell them this is what God says. In a loving way, in a gentle way. See, it's only the Holy Spirit that can reveal this to them, not me. So there's no sense me arguing it. There's no sense me carrying banners. There's no sense me trying to drill this into your head. If you don't sit down and you don't take the word and ponder on it, I can't give you what I have. It's impossible. Listen to this. No one who is emasculated or has his male organ cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Why in the world would the preacher read that? That is crazy. Because it's in the Word of God. I have to read it. I don't have a choice. I have to read this. But this is what God thinks about this, that he would not even allow them to come and worship him because of what they did. It gets even better. No one who is an illegitimate birth shall enter the assembly of the Lord. None of his descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall enter the assembly of God. Assembly of the Lord. You know what an illegitimate birth is? Huh? One out of wedlock. Fornicating. What does God say about fornicators? Fornicators will not enter the kingdom of God. He wrote this in laws so that we would know we're all guilty, not to shine the light on somebody that's caught up in this sin. We're all guilty. And yet we point our fingers at other people. No, what a true child of God knows and why he brings us to the end of ourselves is so we have compassion for folks that are lost. Words are supposed to have compassion for those that are bound in sin and can't do anything about it. Just like you couldn't do anything about it. And if we don't come to ourselves, we never come to this compassion. Instead, we want to point fingers. We want to shine a light in their eyes that blinds them instead of one in their heart that saves them. And this is what the modern day church has become, because no one will stand up and say this is wrong. He wrote this so that we would know it's wrong. He would know this to humble each and every one of us. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Begin in verse 6. We're going to back this up. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. So there's nobody that becomes a child of God that's not disciplined. That's not put through trials. That's not put through tribulations. Laying your stuff at Jesus' feet does not give you a rosy bed. Okay? That's Satan coming along and making your way straight so that you think that you gave yourself to Jesus or your life to Jesus. It's him deceiving you that you're okay. See, his job, and I was there, he deceived me that I was okay with God until I read, until a preacher preached and I read and I pondered on it. Not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. He writes these things, and then things happen in our lives to bring us to this point where we understand these things. I'm being disciplined because he loves me. I have back surgery because he loves me. I have shoulder surgery because he loves me. Because there's stuff in my life and I've not been tempered the way that I need to be tempered, and sometimes it requires discipline to get you to the point where you need to be. And this is why we live in the world we live in, where children are not being disciplined. And we live in generations where there's no respect for parents. There's no respect for parents. I promise you, there's no respect for God. If you can't respect who you do see, there's no way to respect someone you can't see. Even though you beat them, they will not die. That's what the Bible says. But we live in a world, oh, we need to love them. We need to be gentle with them. God is not gentle with us. And he will not be gentle with us when he throws you into the lake of fire. He will not be gentle. Why are we created a God that we think is all loving? No, there's a God that's all holy. And from his holiness, his love and his righteousness and his wrath comes from his holiness. From the same place. And yet we've created a God that just, oh, he loves you. He's going to take care of you and all your trials. No, you can't live in sin and expect anything from God. Now, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means I'm doing something about my sin. I'm asking God to grow me out. I'm mourning over it. God, I don't want to be that person. I want to be like your son, and it takes a priority in my life. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And we can answer that pretty easy nowadays. Not very many sons get disciplined anymore because there's not many fathers around. Men have actually become, I don't know. Where are they at today? Where's that father at today that not just has a kid, but a dad to him? Anybody can reproduce. Huh? Dogs and cats and monkeys reproduce. Are we better than monkeys? Take responsibility. Do it the way God said do it. And yet our society keeps changing the rules so that we condone sin instead of exposing it. Folks, we have to expose it, not by taking a stand. But when God goes before us and gives us opportunity to become in a relationship or friendship with someone, when that time comes, when he's gone before you, and they ask you, a lady this week in the office asked me, she found out she's got cancer all over, and she says, is God punishing me? She knows I'm a pastor, and she asked me, is God punishing me? What would you say? I said, go read the book of Job and sit down. That's the first place to begin, because not all things happen because of punishment. Job was a great guy. And yet to lose his whole family except his wife and go through the boils and the pain and the suffering he had to go through because he was righteous. You see how when we look at things in the flesh, we get it all confused and messed up. You've got to ask God to give you that spiritual insight of the spiritual truths that are in this book and not listen to some stupid preacher or some book written by man. What makes this book alive is the Holy Spirit. And apart from it, you cannot know any of this. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, you are illegitimate children and not sons. And what do we learn about illegitimate children? You see how the scripture explains scripture if we just allow it to? What do you think about illegitimate children not coming to the assembly? Well, I promise you, if he doesn't make you a son, you can't come any other way. And if you're without discipline, if you can live and you can pick up this word where it says fornicators and adulterers and homosexuals and thieves and liars and cheats, and that's what they are, and that's what they remain, then we just need to shred this up, because this is a bunch of lies. He will either discipline you or kill you. You have no other options. As a child, if you become a born-again child of God, true through the nature of what God gave you, and you become stiff-necked and disobedient and arrogant, he will either kill you or, man, he will discipline you and he will bring you back on path. There's no other options. They're not just backslidden, okay? They're illegitimate. And he's not disciplining illegitimate. He's reserved that for the end of time. All the illegitimate children will be thrown into the lake of fire. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them, and we shall not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live. For they disciplined us for the short time what seemed best to them, but the discipline for that they disciplined us for our good, so that we may what? He disciplines us for our good, so we may what? Share in his holiness. What makes God holy? There's no darkness in him. He's without sin. He tells us, the Father's holy, you be holy. And again, it's not that I'm perfect, but it's the fact that he's perfecting me. It's the fact that I get a godly sorrow before I'm exposed, not after I'm exposed, that leads to repentance. And he gives me the power to repent. If I could repent on my own, why did Jesus have to die? Think about it for 2 seconds. If I could repent on my own and I could carry out the whole law, then why did Jesus have to die? Because he showed us through the nation of Israel that we can't. And that's why it says all have sinned and come short of glory. Romans 8, real quick, 15 through 18. I'm sorry, 13 through 18. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Not being led by Joel Osteen. Not being led by Lloyd Jolly. Not being led by all these TV preachers. Not all these big mega church preachers. You're not being led by, if you're being led by them, you're going to die and go to hell. Simple. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Did you know we're not supposed to call anyone father on earth in the religious sense? I'm just telling you what Scripture says. Huh? No one should even be called teacher. Did you know that? There's only one teacher, and that's Jesus Christ. He's teaching what? He's teaching what God tells him to teach. He doesn't do anything on his own initiative. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. If that doesn't happen, you're not a child of God, and you're going to die and go to hell. I don't care what religion's told you. I don't care what you believe. These are facts that God has written so that we would know, and that's where the fear and trembling of working out our salvation comes from, and the fear of God comes in so that we would fear him. You know why he wrote this? So he told the nation of Israel, I wrote this so you'd fear me. Not be afraid of him, but fear him. And if children, heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Why are we suffering with him? Why did Christ suffer? Was it because he was sinful? No, it's because he was going to be made sin. The cross had nothing to do with this. He didn't bear our sins on the cross. He became sin on the cross. You know why he suffered? Because he knew that when the moment he became sin, the Father would reject him. His own Father would reject him. Only for 3 days. But those 3 days of rejection gave him an incredible amount of pain. He sweat blood in the garden. Father, is there any other way we can do this? Is there any other way? Please. 3 times. But he was obedient, son. He could have called a legion of angels at any time to rescue him from that. God gave him that choice. But no. Why do we suffer? Because we're sinful. He makes us aware of that, and we suffer in our sins and the battle that we have. And you don't give your life to Christ. Come on, folks. If someone tells you they gave their life to Christ, they're religious. What does God want with your dirty old life? See, that's a sacrifice of man to try to please God in the flesh. The scriptures are very plain and very explicit that he's the one that gives us life. And then the life he gives us, we give back. Let's make sure we get it right. Because if you give your life to Christ, you will die and go to hell. And you're going to say, darn, I should have just did what I wanted. Because you're not going to get what you want. See, it's not about going to heaven at all, is it? It's about becoming his righteousness, isn't it? Galatians 5, 17 to 25. Just real quick, and then we're going to close. This always helps me a lot of times to read this. Are you walking in the flesh, or are you walking in the Spirit? Okay, this is why he wrote this, so that you would know where you're at. He would know, so you would know. We need to know, right? It's important that we always know. This is why he says that we have to deny ourselves daily, for this reason right here. We have to deny ourselves daily, put on the armor of God, that we might extinguish the flaming arrows that Satan is throwing at us. Okay? For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The two cannot coexist. And that's why there's a battle in your life if you're a child of God. See, these people that say they can still remain in their sin and there's no battle, it's because their flesh is not against the Spirit, because there's no Spirit there. If the Spirit is there, there's going to be a battle. The battle has to exist because the flesh has to be done away with. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Oh, wait a minute, I'm 21, I can do what I want. I'm married and I got kids. Ain't nobody telling me what I'm going to do. I'll do whatever I want to do. You ain't no boss of me. Yeah, honey, you ain't no boss of me. Got that? You ain't my boss. God's my boss. And what I do is to please him. Okay? God warns me if I get married, I'm gonna have a problem. I might want to please her more than please God. He warns me about that. If I let that happen, he might take her away from me. Don't you think for one moment God won't take you away if I try to please you more than I please him? Folks, we don't understand who God is, I don't think, in our world. But look in the scriptures. It's plain. It's so plain. Wow. For the flesh, they're in opposition. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're under the law. You're not under the law if you're led by the Spirit. You're under grace. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are what? Listen to this. You want to know how you're... This morning we're going to know if you're flesh or not. And if you're a child of God, whether you're walking in flesh or not. Because if you don't pick this up, you're not going to know. If you listen to the church today, you're not going to know. You're going to think you're okay. Immorality. He lists that at number one. You know why? Because sexual sins carry a greater consequence than any other sin in our bodies. It's sinning against our bodies, which bring worse condemnation. Did you know that? And yet it's listed once. We are becoming more immoral. Okay? It's not that we're more immoral, it's that we're more okay with it. Okay? Impurity. We don't even know what anything pure is anymore, right? If we do just enough, that's good enough, right? We don't care if we have imperfections. He's talking about this is in the flesh. If it's not pure, it's in the flesh. Sensuality, that pleasure of sexual pleasures. That's what we're seeking, entertainment, things that please us. You know what the Spirit of God does? Brings you contentment. Physical contentment. You have to have spiritual contentment before you physically content. That's why the world goes after all the things it's going after, because they're never content. Because spiritually they're not content, so they can't physically be content. You can't do one. The spirit is supposed to affect the flesh. So if you're spiritually content, then you'll be physically content, and you'll, and the things that you desire will be different. Idolatry, putting anything before God, your children, your spouse, your sporting events. God doesn't want you to be closer to your family than he is with you. Oh, we're doing this for the family. We're doing it for the family. God understands. He wants to spend time with our family. No, he doesn't. He wants you to worship him on the holy day that he set forth, that you're to come in here and worship him and to prepare to do it. Sorcery? That's big nowadays, isn't it? Huh? The demons? This is real. And don't think that these people are nuts. They're real. Satan is working with them. Okay? They really do call up spirits. It's real, folks. You better stay away from it. God says, don't even. He said, he's telling you, you better stay away from it. Enmities, which is hostility. Okay? If you're hostile, strife, always causing problems. Did you know that the children of God are supposed to be peacemakers? Okay? We're supposed to be peaceable. We're supposed to let trouble find us, not cause trouble. So if you're blowing up abortion clinics, that's strife. You're in the flesh. If you're picketing the LGBT, that's strife, and you're in the flesh. You're not in the spirit. Outbursts of anger. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So when you have outbursts of anger, guess what? You're walking in the flesh, not the spirit. Disputes. Okay. If you want to take my hat, I'm going to give you my coat too. You force me 1 mile, I'm going to. I'm not telling you these things are possible in the flesh. These are impossible things in the flesh. I'm telling you what the flesh is. Dissensions, factions. You know what factions are? It's like political parties. Are we not political? Are we not divided? This is supposed to be the United States of America. This is the divided states of America. Let's put it like it is, folks. Why can't we look at reality? Why are we burying our heads in the sand? That's in the flesh. Envying. Drunkenness. There are people that start drinking it as soon as they get off work and get totally blasted and drunk. Okay? Because they're trying to fill themselves with something that will never be satisfying. Carousing. Huh? You know, we used to in college go around and carouse McDonald's. And y'all ever been to college and do that? What are we looking for? I know what I was looking for. Yeah. Why we carouse? Because looking for something to please me, right? And things like these, which I forewarn you, that those who practice such things will not enter the kingdom of God. He's not going to change his mind about this. We don't take it serious, folks. You'll take it serious when he tells you, depart from me, I never knew you. That religion will never get you to where you want to be. Religion brings forth death. Relationship brings forth life. I'm not saying you're going to be perfected, but you will be perfected. It's a big difference. See, the church and religious church already thinks they're perfect. Their sins don't stink. You ever been around religious people? Their sins don't stink, but yours does. They're always looking at somebody else. The relationship always makes me look at me first. If I don't look at me first, I'm no good to you.